Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Taking Care of Yourself to Better Help Others and features Kimberly Senamore in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the editor-in-chief of the Imagine magazine. Welcome to Dr. Kimberly Senamore. Thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast. The COVID-19 pandemic has raised great concerns for children's mental health and well-being by caregivers, service providers, and professional organizations. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we would like to find out about challenges you face, how you promote good social and emotional development in infants and young children, and what supports you give to their parents, caregivers, and communities, or university students learning about it. We've prepared 10 questions for you, Kimberly. Are you ready?
I am, and thank you for the invitation, Petra.
Yeah, great to have you. So my first question, of course, is where do you work and what is your role?
So as of this recording, I'm in a fairly new position for me. I am coordinator of the music therapy program at Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida.
Wonderful. And congratulations to this new position. So the second question, we want to know what's on your mind when you read about the rising mental health issues among young children due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Really, one of the biggest things that comes to my mind is how complex this issue is, because it's not just about even the children themselves and their own social and emotional development, but it's about all of the different systems and impacts from the state and federal government policies to the local communities and our people making safe choices in terms of getting vaccinated or wearing masks or doing what they can to protect their communities, down to the parents and the additional stress on parents. And I can say this as a parent myself, that there's just a lot of complexity to this issue that has the potential to impact, or even is even beyond the potential, it is impacting the mental health of young children in different ways. But it's a multi-level issue with a lot of variables, a lot of potential, both protective factors, as well as factors that can negatively impact mental health and just their overall social and emotional development.
Yeah, it's certainly a complex issue with many facets, that's for sure. And so I was wondering, how have you actually then adjusted the music therapy service in the practicum sessions with your students?
So in terms of my students and practicum, I mean, some of the ways I've adjusted, quite frankly, has been in my teaching of students. One of the things that I've really stressed a lot more with my students is the importance of them taking care of themselves so that they can better help others. Mm-hmm. And that ties into this idea of self-care, which has been a common thread throughout my educational career, but it seems to have a slightly heightened importance these days. And so part of that discussion too is not only how can you better take care of yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally, what are some of the daily rituals and practices? What are some of the kind of bigger ways to do that for you that works for you? You go on a trip, you take a weekend off, something like that. But that also ties into, okay, what do you need to recognize in the clients then in terms of stress behaviors? And I was talking earlier about the complexity of the issue related to general mental health right now in young children. That complexity ties to clients as well. So when you observe stress-related behaviors in that in the clients, a big role that we have is the interpretation of those behaviors. What could they mean in terms of all the, you know, situations and systems impacting that client's experience in that moment?
Right. And I think what you're saying, self-care being so important, I think that really applies also to the parents or caregivers of the children, the infants and young children. And so that leads me to my next question. So how have you then adjusted this to those who you serve? So have the goals changed or have the interventions changed? What is different than before, or is there a greater emphasis on some goal areas than others?
So I would say actually, you know, and I'm saying this, I go out with students about once a week into a practicum setting, and I do regularly go into early childhood types of settings. Actually, as of this recording, I was at one this morning and it was fantastic. But it's, you know, it's a little tricky because we're there for such a limited period of time. So I think, I don't know if it's so much we've changed our services, but we've really, and I try to advise the students and support them in really focusing on the pro-social skills, the emotional skills, and general developmental competence. So that for that, you know, 30-minute session that we have with the children once a week, it is a period of being together. It is a period of making music together. It is a period of learning. Right. So that 30 minutes, what we do isn't necessarily changed, but I think it's taken on almost a heightened importance.
Right. And in terms of the interventions you're doing, are there pandemic related stress, fears and grief issues you're going to address also in those young children?
You know, if it comes up, I do, but at least in terms of because of my role in that situation and the relationship I have with the clients, because again, it's such a limited period of time. It's not a, I don't feel in that context, it's kind of my role or the way I can be the most helpful, I guess, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. And Kimberly, one of your research lines is actually emotional regulations. And remember that you have also published an Imagine before about this topic. So do you have any suggestions how parents can nurture their child's mental health in terms of emotional regulation?
Absolutely. And yes, you're right. Thank you for bringing that up, because this is a pretty big interest of mine is how we can support children. And really this ties so closely with mental health and social emotional development in those early childhood years. One of them, I have kind of two big takeaways. One of them is to encourage parents to be aware of their own stress levels. And it's okay to be stressed. I tell my students this all the time, stress, and my children, actually, I have two children. Stress is going to happen. Our role is to kind of manage and aim to have healthy ways for responding and managing that stress. And so I would extend that to parents as well. I mean, children, they're sensitive to our emotional states and our stress states. And so one of the things I would counsel parents is to be aware of your own stress. And I'm not telling, you know, not saying to hide the stress, because sometimes it's important for children to see and experience that, okay, the stress is going to happen, but it's going to be okay. I can work through it. So I think that awareness piece is pretty important. And related to that, even when you are feeling stressed, as best as you can, try to help your child feel safe and feel loved, right? Those don't have to be mutually exclusive. And then also with the children, acknowledge that it's okay. And this, again, kind of relates to what I was saying. It's okay to feel scared and stressed and fearful. And it's okay to have these big feelings. And there are other big feelings too, being happy, being excited. So having those big feelings means that you're human. And so I think, you know, for parents, do what you can to help them feel safe, to help them feel loved, to help them feel that they have a safe space to express those big feelings, and be the model for them for knowing that, hey, I can have this stress and there are ways that I can help make myself feel better.
That goes beautiful along what you said with the UNICEF movement or campaign they have right now on What's on Your Mind. in young children and in teenagers and so forth. So I'm always asking this question, what's on your mind to start the conversation?
And it's so, I love that you bring up young children and teenagers, because there are, and I have two teenagers now, 13 and 15, and there are definite parallels in those ideas.
Yes. So talking about the complexity of this mental health issue in our society and in the world right now, how can we best support communities as music therapists to build sustainable mental health and well-being for infants and young children and their families, of course?
So I think for music therapists, we are uniquely positioned to, you know, we're uniquely positioned to understanding and promoting the role music can have and just kind of overall development, but specifically for this age period in social and emotional development and in bonding and in having group experiences. And so I think a big role that music therapists can have in supporting communities is to educate not only about music therapy, but educate parents and community agencies and employers and how can we bring it, or how can they bring in musical strategies to support the families and to support the parents? I mean, music, even in that parent-child interaction, music is such a natural and big part of that interaction. And it offers a lot of protective factors in terms of building trust, in terms of building the ability to self-regulate, in terms of being able to learn later on. So I think that's where music therapists can really have a unique role to play.
And going along with that, what kind of resources do you recommend for families, for your students on this topic?
Well, this one, I will have to come back with you. I'm looking through some of my books. I have some articles in mind that I'm looking through. So I'll be sure, Petra, to follow up with you with a couple of items to share with listeners and readers.
Wonderful. And we'll put this on the website along with your podcast then. And I'm approaching the question 9 already. What are your hopes for these pandemials, babies who have been born during the pandemic?
If there was just one thing to hope for, it would be that they would develop into resilient young people, right? Because they're entering into this period globally, worldwide, of different ways of interacting with each other, different ways of community engagement, a lot of really strong feelings on both sides of whatever fence it is. And there are a lot of fences out there right now. And so it is my hope that they will come out of this, that they will develop into resilient, compassionate young people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who will then be our resilient and compassionate leaders, making good choices for communities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this will be interesting to follow those infants and young children and see how their lives develop and how they're going to make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming already to my final question for you, Kimberly. Can you share some advice for our listeners facing this mental health crisis?
So some of my advice ties into things that we've discussed in this interview. And one is to be kind and compassionate to yourself and to, again, recognize it's okay to feel stressed. It's okay to need to let off steam. It's okay to be scared. So just if we can be compassionate towards ourselves, be kind towards ourselves, give ourselves the extra care, the time, the space we need. So again, we're in a helping profession. How can we better help other people? And how can we be as healthy as we can be physically, emotionally, and mentally? And then the second advice I would have, and this ties into this idea of community. And we are all a part of multiple communities, from the micro to the macro. And I just strongly encourage listeners to make the safest choices that they can to protect themselves, to protect their families and loved ones, and to protect their communities. So whatever that is, just I encourage you to make safe choices.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for sharing your insights. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you again for having me. It was a pleasure to be on.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2022.